week two of the grind. We need to get into the grind because we are 0-1 after week one of the grind. But as promised, we're going to give you every single week all the details of going through this process, this journey of trying to win a W and bring home a title. But Eric, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Yeah, doing good. We're actually 0-2 because we do play against the median in this league. We are 0-2 and we are in 12th of 12th. So we were absolute dog shit in week one.
Yeah, looking right here, points four. In case you don't know, but the 0-2 being against the median means that it's the way you're 0-2 right now, and looking at this point, we're at points four. Not good, right? We're dead last. Yeah. But Eric, the good news is all we can do is go up from here, you know?
This is very true, yeah.
So I agree. Let me ask you, let's get right into, honestly, the grind here, buddy, because we got a lot to work with, but so far, here's our lineup, and our lineup actually has two players in it at the moment. So we had Josh Jacobs as well as Matthew Golden going. What do you think about their performances so far, and then how are we feeling about the rest of the lineup so far?
Yeah, I mean, Jacobs was solid. And then, yeah, Golden hasn't been very good for us so far. Hopefully with Jaden Reed maybe missing here, that'll start to get going. But the one thing I did want to start with, though, actually is our waiver pickups for this week.
Let's do it.
So we did end up picking up Chris Brooks and dropped Emmanuel Wilson, since Emmanuel Wilson is the third stringer and Chris Brooks is the second string. We got him for $8. A couple other people did bid on him. They didn't bid any money, so we won him for $8. We prioritized him, obviously, since we have Jacobs and we have Marshawn Lloyd too. So I thought that was a good pickup for us. And then we had a free roster spot because Kate Stover is going to be out for a while. He broke his foot. I cut him off our taxi and moved someone down to our taxi. That's a rookie. I think Elijah Arroyo I moved down, since we're not going to be using him anytime soon. So I ended up picking up Jahan Dotson for $6 just because there's an injury to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Like, Jahan Dotson's going to stick up there. And he caught a touchdown in week one. So, he's probably one of the better players that was out there on waivers for us. So
for sure. we do have a couple additions to the team. And so at the top, let's just talk it down. Top to bottom. We talk about it a little bit. Flacco, Stafford, and Dak. We kind of preluded and we went with Dak week one. Where are you at right now going into week two with the matchups? I mean, just to clarify, we have got Dak Prescott playing at home versus the Giants. We have Flacco returning to his long tenured place, Baltimore Ravens. We're at Baltimore. And then we have Matt Stafford at Tennessee. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and we have Lamar in our flex spot, our super flex spot right now. So obviously we're not sitting Lamar. No. So it is between these three. I think if the Browns are going to have success, they're going to have to pass the ball. I think there's no doubt about that.
For sure.
Stafford on the road, West Coast team coming East Coast to play 1 o'clock is never like great, but he does have fucking Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, so that's nice.
Sure.
However, Cowboys home opener, CD, Pickens, all those guys, like, I think this is a good get right spot for Dak Prescott. So I've been leaning Dak all week.
Me too.
And that's kind of where I'm at.
I am too. I think one of the things this happens a lot in lineup when you have decisions to make, right? And what I mean by this is in particular when you have players that are not auto locks at starting, right? You're not weekly just saying set it and forget it.
Yeah.
The problem can become you're playing this guessing game. And a lot of times the guessing game gets a little too much recency bias from last week. And I'm not saying that, like, not to factor in last week, right? But what I'm basically saying is I think, when I'm playing the lineup game, if I have someone that I really am bullish about with a matchup, right? And I want to put them into my lineup, but let's say Flacco was that for the case. Okay, fine. Let's put Flacco in for Dak this week. But I think by and large, if I don't have something like that, kind of sitting Dak. I think almost in a way, I look to kind of have a penciled in lineup and then, all right, am I going to spot start this player? Because if you just go back and forth too many times between these guys, you'll end up playing the guessing game. And when you don't get the guessing game right, you're just going to be pissed off.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I've done that for years and years and years, and you always get it wrong. So it's like, you just kind of just make your best gut, you know, pick there. Like, I think, you know, usually Dak at home is a really good bet. Like, and their running game, yeah, they scored two rushing touchdowns last week with Javonte Williams, but Javonte Williams isn't rumbling for 150 yards on the Giants. Like,
well, and let's talk recency bias with that specifically, right? Remember that Javonte Williams' second touchdown was because of the Ferguson pass interference in the end zone, right? So sometimes those things can play out where I think over the long haul of the season, I'm not saying Javonte can't have another double touchdown game. What I'm saying is I think Dak Prescott is going to have much better days ahead. I also think his stat line didn't tell the full story of I thought he played a pretty good game overall. So I'm with you. Right. I think we go Dak. I will say Flacco. I have a little bit of an intrigue about you know, guys playing versus their old team, especially a bet like this, which he's played against the Ravens for a while. I'm not saying that I expect the Browns to beat him, but I expect him to be ready to show up and play a good game. Kind of a think Rodgers versus the Jets in a way. Like, you got a little bit more pride to play for.
Right, for sure.
So when we talk down the lineup now after that, right, we got Chase Brown. Now that we already have Jacobs, is our starting quarterback. Starting quarterback is Lamar. I flipped that from last week, right? We got Josh Jacobs. We got Chase Brown in the lineup. I think these are easy, pretty much no debate weekly.
Yeah. Yep.
A.J. Brown, T. Higgins. Listen, again, A.J. Brown, 1 week, auto start. T. Higgins as well. Both had bad week ones, but not worried big picture about it at all.
Yeah, I mean, that cost us, you know, those guys not doing good in week one cost us a win and points and all that. So these two are a big reason why we're behind. And
for
Dak.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too, right? Sometimes when you're when multiple players that are studs have their down weeks together, and nothing really you can do about that. Those guys are set it and forget it as well. So we get to our probably I'm going to leave the tight end for last because I think in general when I'm looking at leagues, and you correct me if I'm wrong, for the most part I view the tight end as tight ends don't matter or that strategy of a warp. So looking at the rest of our flexes here, James Cook in the lineup, pretty much set it and forget it, especially with the team we're working with. Let's talk Kenneth Walker, though, man. Let's talk Kenneth Walker. This is one that kind of hate to see or hate to know this is what the situation was. Listen, Kenneth Walker playing 40% of snaps. He did get 10 carries and 3 targets. He happened to catch all 3. But where are you at right now with Kenneth Walker on this?
So personally, I have a couple leagues where I'm playing Charbonnet over Walker. Like, I have them both in the same lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to play Charbonnet over Walker this week. But I also have a team with Walker and Charbonnet together as well that I'm just going to play them both. But if you just kind of look at our bench, there ain't a soul on our fucking bench that I want to play over Ken Walker. So we got to stick with.
No, I mean, now I will say, like, there's a couple considerations, but I'm with you. I still want to put Kenneth Walker in our lineup at the moment, for sure. I also, here's what I will say. Kind of been dealing with this foot injury earlier in the year and in camp especially, right? Sometimes I think in a situation like this, I want to see another week of the snaps looking like this. Now, I'm not saying it can't be, but I just want to make sure that there's not, you know, with a new total coaching staff here, I want to make sure that we aren't just completely looking at an aberration where maybe these guys are closer to 50-50 than week one told us.
Right, yep.
Okay, Bashaud Tutin. We ended up putting him into the lineup. So give you some clarity about how this happens. So Eric and I, we text before the game Thursday, just to check where we're at with our lineup. And we were talking about putting Bashaud Tutin in. And basically, the reason was that we were talking about, do we play Matthew Golden? So we end up keeping Golden in the lineup. But we were like, hey, I basically was telling Eric, I think the only one I would potentially like to see is the upside of, you know, Tank Bigsby that got traded to Philadelphia. So maybe we could sneak Tutin in the flex. So we did do that. We left Golden up there, who 1.7. So now the question here, Eric, is these last two flex spots, Tootin, Rashid Shaheed. I think we have the lineup in personally that I think we should leave. But do you have any other considerations with our bench?
No, not really. I think the only other one we could maybe debate is Bateman. But I think with Ravens playing the Browns, the Ravens should be winning a lot in this game. It should be like last week's game script where Lamar only threw the ball 19 times. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to kind of look like that again. And if Lamar's not throwing it 35, 40 times, I don't want to start Bateman. He's just too inconsistent. He's not their number one or even number two option. So
right.
I would much rather play Shaheed and the upside of Tootin over Bateman, even though we have Lamar.
I'm with you at this point. Yep. I think the way I'm kind of viewing it is I think we have our team in at the moment. When we talk matchups, maybe we could get back to in a tiebreaker situation, I would say. Sometimes it's like, hey, if we kind of need to get points in a hurry or get busy, maybe we want to just lean into the stack if, let's say, we were really down bad after a Thursday. But by and large, I'm with you on this here. So let's talk the tight end. Yep. We called it wrong, right? We had Mr.
We put Smith. Chig in over
we put
John.
Chig up. Yep. We put Mr. Johnny Smith on. And this is actually kind of an interesting one right here. I wanted to pull this up on Sleeper. Like, of all the things that we don't know and can't predict about one Mr. Smith, Arthur Smith, not just Johnny, right?
Right.
Johnny Smith leads the NFL in designed targets in week one. And the only hesitancy that I truly did have about, I wanted to put Chig week one. I won't tell you that I didn't sit here and say that, but the Johnny Smith thing is definitely, you know, Arthur Smith going to get his guy. Let me ask you right now. Is it Johnny Smith pretty easy over Chig? Where are you at with Chig? Let's talk about this conversation here.
No, I don't think it's clear-cut Johnny over Chig. So I'm pulling up the snap share from last week. So Johnny Smith last week, he had 37 snaps, which was 66% of the team snaps on offense.
Yep.
Freiermuth had 28 snaps, 50%. Darnell Washington, 26 snaps, 46%. So typical Arthur Smith bullshit. He's going to play these three tight ends and all that. So 66% for Johnny on 37 snaps. Now we go over to Chig, 50 snaps, which was 88% of the snaps, which is what you want to see from your starting tight ends. Like 80% or higher snaps is where I want that guy in.
For sure. One of the things with Chig, too. Chig is somebody, when you go back and look, I very much remember, okay, the days of going after his rookie season, right? If you look here, I got the game log pulled up. Let me scroll down so you guys can see it a little more. I don't know why I can't. It won't let me scroll all the way past there. But tight end 9, tight end 2, and tight end 6. That was three of the final 6 weeks of his season. And people were really going crazy for Chig, right? About he's going to be awesome going into 2023. Turns out he didn't. And the big reason that I wanted to talk about this is because of what you just highlighted. I'm like, this guy's a tweener. He's still not being played as a every down guy because they didn't view him that great of a blocker. Eric, I'm telling you right now, when I'm looking at Chig, right? Sorry, I did not mean to pull that down. We look at last year, and one of the things you see is that the snaps started to really increase and get more. He was becoming more of an every down player. If you're telling me he's playing 88% of the snaps, I'm not going to say it's clear cut and obvious, but that's going to be on a weekly basis something that I think plays for me, look at the stat line, look at Cam Ward. That was a really horrible game. He had a bunch of drops, but they had 100 and some yards passing. Chig, I think, is going to have a lot better days ahead if he's playing 88% of the snaps.
Right.
So definitely one thing I wanted to highlight there.
True. So I also want to look at this. So last week, the Rams, who the Titans are playing this week, played against the Texans.
Okay.
So I'm going to look at what Dalton Schultz and those guys did last.
There we go. I like this.
So Schultz had 5 targets, 3 catches for 28 yards, which was tied for the league or the team lead in targets with Nico. He had second most catches and third most yards. So they didn't really have much success there. Cade Stover had 4 targets, 4 catches, 22 yards. So, you know, combine that together, you know, 7 for 50 yards or 60 yards, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty good. So
it really was. Yeah, absolutely.
And then let's look at the Steelers are playing the Seahawks this week, right?
Yes.
So last week we had, so we had George Kittle started off really good. Obviously, it's George Kittle. He's a fucking beast.
Right.
4 for 25 and the touchdown in like a quarter. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Jake Tongs, 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards, and a touchdown. So they did give up 2 touchdowns last week, 2 tight ends, did the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So that could be one of their weaker points. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned Janu. He had the most designed targets to him last week, you said?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think this is one of those things where right now with the sample size we have, right, Jonnu Smith has played 1 game in Pittsburgh. Now, technically, we've seen him play for this coach before, right? The sample size is hard to make calls, but we got to go with the information we have. I think it's still a very close call, personally. So yeah. I'm not really... I have who I want to lean, but I'm not like locked into anything. I'm curious if you have a lean at the moment.
Not really.
Okay.
I think I'm kind of leaning Janu.
So am I.
Just because Seattle did give up 2 touchdowns to that position last week, and the design targets, we know he's going to want to get the ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing I'm considering too is, since this is 1.75
there
tight
you go.
End premium.
This is one of the things that I was going to talk about, is possibly getting both in. Now, I would have liked to possibly have done it for Golden. Golden's already played, right? So, and I'm curious, but we can still talk about it with Tootin. Would you, and what about Shahid? I personally think Shahid should stay, but...
Yeah, Shahid. Let's look at Shahid. Last week he had 9 targets, 6 for 33. Like,
listen,
it's hard to bet a guy getting 9 targets.
No, he's playing a ton of snaps. He looked to be, at least from my eye test, looks fine coming off the injury. He looks pretty healthy. I think I think this is going to be the only thing with him that's going to frustrate people is, last year, if you saw it, remember the start of last year, it was really good, right? Mm-hmm. I think the targets and the snaps are going to be similar, right? I think the issue is right now quarterback play just could be fucking complete dog.
right.
So, but I do think, listen, a guy playing 85% of snaps is getting 10 targets in this offense. I mean, it's hard to knock it. Now, I think the Saints are going to be really bad this year, which is also why I think we keep him in the lineup, because some games you'll have a 33-yard game because it's bad, but they're always going to be playing from behind. I don't think they designed or wanted to go into the game and have Spencer Rattler throw the ball 46 times like he did. I mean, that's just going to happen when you're getting your ass beat, though.
Right.
So I think he's probably the one I want to leave in the flexes at the moment, for sure. What do you think, Tootin or Chiggy?
So this is one thing I do... on my teams during the week, like if I have a question like this, so I will go on to X, I will go into Google and do just a new search and just kind of type in that player's name and see if anything comes up. Cause like sometimes you'll get local beat writer stuff, like talking about, you know, hey, since they made this trade, Bashaw Tootin is going to be a huge part of the game plan, like stuff you might not see in the mainstream news.
Right.
So that is one thing that I do like to go look at.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of browsing some of the news now. You know, I keep seeing, hey, Bashaw Tootin, he's a must pick up guy this week, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, nothing like too crazy. Let's see, latest on X. Yeah, people are talking about, you know, picking him up and all that. So nothing like crazy from like beat writers or anything like that.
Yeah, nothing that from an inside source that got wind of, oh, Bashaw Tutin's going to be really, really heavily focused and leaned on in the run game or in this department of the game. Sometimes you will get those. It's funny because, you know, here in Cleveland, that person will be Mary Kay. And the problem is here, sometimes I don't even believe what she says. But I do know there's a lot of times that your beat writer is the person that will leak stuff like that. And I know Zach Jackson here as well. He sometimes gets some really good tips too. So
yeah. So my one thing with Tutin, like when you first brought it up to me, I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. They just traded Bigsby. They want to get Tutin the ball and get him in there more. My only pushback on that right now is LaQuint Allen, who played over Tutin in the last game, and he seems like he's like their third down back.
Yeah.
He's going to be in there for pass protection. He's going to be in there for receiving work.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me kind of think, okay, maybe for safety, we put in Chig over Tutin. But if you still feel like, man, I think Tutin could have the upside at Cincinnati, their defense still sucks,
right,
even though they stopped the run pretty good last week against Cleveland. But I think that's had a lot to do with their blocking.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would be okay either way.
Yeah.
If you had a feeling one way, I'm totally good sticking with it.
Yeah, I think it's close. Here's what I'll say. I think it's a good point you bring up. One thing I think it's really interesting that the timing works out sometimes, right? Where, for example, the Browns, I think in a way, kind of got bailed out on the Kenny Pickett thing because of the injury that took place, and that's why they and traded him away at that time, right? I think the Bigsby trade is kind of similar, where Bigsby at one to me is the person they clearly wanted to move on from, in my opinion, in the backfield, right? And they sent him to Philadelphia because of the Shipley injury. Now, it's really interesting to me because I think when you were talking about the snaps, right? I think we kind of got a feel for why this offensive backfield still could be a little bit hard to determine. But I think my estimation, if I was just in the guessing game, I think there's a chance where Tutin's just going to pick up basically everything now, him, what he had and what Bigsby had, and they're kind of going to go with that. I don't know that he's ready to take really that LaQuint Allen work. And I honestly think the thing about it is with Tutin, I think they're going to kind of wait for him to have one of those big pop games. And then at that point, he might have a chance to start really taking some more snaps. But I think at this time still, he's kind of going to be penciled into a... What was his snap share even last week? He's going to be penciled into something light.
So that's what I was looking at. So ETN last week, he played 40 snaps, which was 61% of their offensive snaps. Tank Bigsby had 14 snaps for 21%.
There you
go. Then Bashaw Tutin had 4 offensive snaps for 6%.
This is crazy. Think about that, though. Think about this. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, was I knew it was a low percent. I didn't realize it was only 4 snaps, though, because think about this. He got on the field for 4 snaps, Eric. They gave him the ball 3 times.
Yeah.
They want to get this fucking kid the ball.
Yeah. And, you know, taking up some of those Bigsby snaps. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get all 14 of those snaps. I bet you LaQuint Allen's going to get some, too, because LaQuint Allen played 9 snaps and had 14%.
Yep.
And let's see, stat-wise... LaQuint Allen had 1 carry for 7 yards and a catch for 4 yards.
Yep.
Tutin had 3 for 11 and didn't do anything in the pass game. So
right.
I think
at this moment, I will say that I think Tutin still would have been a consideration for me this week and still should have been. Mm-hmm. But I think that at the moment, I think it's probably better to put Chig in.
Okay, because I was kind of leaning towards Tutin.
You want us to go Tutin? All right. Well, let's do this. This is one of the tiebreakers I always like to do. Let's take a look at our matchup. Let's look at our matchup. Because I think...
Good, because I want to hear your, like, how your process is and how my process is. And I think the other guys want to hear it, too, so...
Yeah, so one of the things I look at, I think our matchup, actually, for me, before I really give you a true call, is... So, I think right now, let me ask you what your feelings are on those two players. Janu is in my lineup at tight end. I'm already locking that in. So now I'm between Chig and Tutin, right? I think Chig, while it's a tight end, I think he's probably a safer floor because of all those snaps.
Yes.
I think Tutin has a higher upside, but I think right now Tutin could be... We still don't really know that Tutin's not just locked in pretty close to a zero at the same point, right?
So Yeah, so two of my factors here, if you want to bring up our matchup real quick.
Yep. Can you see
and
it?
Just, yeah. So our matchup here is we're projected for 179 points. Our opponent is projected for 197. They already had Deebo Samuel come in, and basically Jacobs and Deebo Samuel are awash. They tied each other. Because we started Matthew Golden, we're a little bit behind the eight ball here.
Exactly.
So that makes me want to go with the higher upside.
And that's
which
that,
I
that's,
think too does.
That's what, okay. And now we're on the same page. When I was saying when I was saying just like holistically looking at the two, I think I would go ahead and play Chig because I think Tootin still is a pretty decent, really decent projection. However, when I'm looking at this matchup, there's a couple factors that make me say that, right? Now, honestly, to that same point, it's kind of interesting because this would also make me go back to saying, okay, while Bateman's riskier, does he become and try to lean into a stack? I still think at this point, I want to say Chig because the matchup's still close. It's not like we're crazy down. Like, it's not like we need some kind of crazy home run or game. But I'm on the mindset that right now that we should probably just go with Tootin in this matchup. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Tootin. Like, our opponent does have a pretty solid lineup, to be honest with you.
This is another thing to keep in mind. Shahid versus Rattler.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think if I don't know. I think that I think that's going to be hopefully a good thing for us, but. Mm-hmm. Rattler is the one. Let's go down our matchups top to bottom, right?
Sure.
I will say Justin Fields. I want Lamar pretty much. I've been all off season. My 101 is Lamar, but it's basically been a tier that I want one of the top three picks. I want Lamar, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels. It was in that order. That being said, when I look at this matchup and it's Justin Fields on the side, it's like, damn, it's a nice little discount to have a damn good puncher's chance at matching what we got at the top, you know?
You know, I thought Fields played pretty good last week and all that. Buffalo's defense definitely got shredded last week.
Fuck yeah. Guess who by?
Yeah, Lamar.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry, really.
Yeah, Derrick Henry going
still,
crazy.
Like, I don't...
You don't trust it.
I don't trust Fields, and I trust the Bills' defense. Like,
okay.
They've always been really, really solid, so I'd... You know, if Fields hits his projection, fine. But I think I'm seeing him hit maybe like 15 points and not 21.
Okay. Obviously, I still want Lamar in that matchup. It's just more of a, to me, Fields kind of showed last week at least that he has as almost as much upside as anybody. Now, I think what we're getting ready to find out at some point is what the floor looks like. We have Jacobs in there. Listen, 17 points. You're always going to want more. But that, to me, is him kind of – this is a very Josh Jacobs-like stat line, y'all.
23 carries,
84 yards, and a touch. Like, that's just what you should be expecting. And it's a game I'll definitely take that from Jacobs. On the other side, we got McCaffrey versus the Saints. Then we have Chase Brown in our running back two. I think a big arrow up here in our game, Chase Brown over Jalen Warren. I will say, Arthur Smith again, the Caleb Johnson usage in this kind of – Gainwell thing is just insane from that game week one.
Yeah.
To your point, Deebo Samuel, opposite of our AJ Brown. Deebo Samuel, man, this has been foul money. If you invested or had some Deebo shares this offseason, right?
I bought him off of T-Rock for 2/3, but right before the season.
That slow moving Deebo isn't moving so slow in the games, huh?
Yeah, so that was nice. Expert. But I mean, his touchdown was late in the game, so.
Yep. And I was going to say, the reason that he's found money to me, not 17.5 is a very good line, but if you watch that game, you know how much the Commanders really kind of struggled moving the football. You tell me he's got 17.5 in a game like that, I'd be pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, most of it came at the end. He probably would have had, like, you know, 8.5.
I was going to say 9. If it wasn't for that points, yeah.
Yeah. So it, that sucked, but that's football.
Yep. Then we got T. Higgins, opposite of Drake London. And we have, we obviously have Golden. He has Garrett Wilson. So one of the big things to note, and this is, you know, I have invested into this stack in the offseason because of the price point. That Garrett Wilson field stack is going to be really interesting to note for us as we see here. Garrett Wilson and Fields could end up being a massive piece of how his team does, obviously.
For sure, yeah. I'm just hoping the Buffalo defense, you know, gets back to their old ways, so we'll see.
Yep. We got Jonnu across from Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I feel like that Kelce projection might be a little too high, but...
I think for the rest of his dying days ahead, he will always have a sleeper insane projection. Especially now that he's got like a cult Taylor Swift following that doesn't really know football. Like, it's just you go lean his projection up pretty high. But listen, Travis Kelce, I still think he's a threat. He's just not what he once was.
Yeah, I think his floor is still 10 points per game, right? And especially that's 1.75 tight end premium. He just gets you 4 or 5 catches and he's already there. So
yeah, exactly. I think he's a threat. I'm just saying, I don't think he's a break the entire game open like he used to be in the past. But
right,
he does still have Jefferson opposite of our Cook. I think, listen, James Cook, I still am pretty excited about. I'm interested to see what the Buffalo offense looks like, though, and then I'll have to go into hero mode like they did and come back and beat Baltimore. I don't know if you saw the raw number of offensive possessions they've had. It's like in the 80s. It's insane for a game that was played in 4 quarters. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how that
he moves. Threw for 250 just in like the 4th quarter, wasn't it, or something crazy?
Yeah, dude. I mean, literally, just go look at some of the games from Week 1 and just NFL games typically. Like 80 some raw snaps in a is just otherworldly, dude. It's insane. That's literally like a full overtime game. So
yeah.
We have Kenneth Walker now versus Swift. Interestingly, how I would have still preferred Walker to Swift in the offseason, but now I will say Swift didn't he did anything but wow me. He had a couple pretty rough looking holes that in his reading of them, but he looks to be the workhorse as far as volume goes. Then we get Bashaw Tutin versus Quentin Johnson. We got Rashid Shaheed versus Mike Evans. We round out Dak Prescott versus Spencer Rattler. I think when you look at this matchup and overall for us right now, especially Rashi, obviously still with the suspension, where we're probably looking at getting beat or our weak spot is certainly in those flex spots. And I think when we look at the flex, he's got some advantages over us for sure. It's going to come down to, I think, one, how our studs do this week and hopefully some big bounce back weeks from those guys. As well as the big edge we have here is Dak versus Spencer Rattler. Which, no, let's just note, Brock Purdy being out is the reason why, but he has to go to Spencer Rattler. So, I guess overall with the matchup, where are you at and how are you feeling?
I think it's going to come a lot down to Lamar and Dak for us. Like, if they have their 25-30 point games, I think we definitely have a shot, but I'm not feeling super confident that we're going to win. I think it's a toss up at best.
Yeah. I think the way you phrase it, to me, I look at us as like a 45% instead of 50-50. I think we're like a 45-55.
Yeah. And the league thing is showing 59-41.
Is it? Okay.
I think
that makes sense. One thing I will say though, about our matchup, right? Yeah. And this is really, really interesting because sometimes they work out the way they are. Eric, we will know a lot, a fuck ton, after the 1 o'clocks. We have A.J. Brown as our sole remaining player at 425. I see on the other side, you know, there's some night games. Jefferson
and
London.
Yeah, he's got Monday Nighters. I think
his team's in a position already. This is still projecting, but I think his team's in a position to where we will know. What's going to come down to the match, are we in a good spot or not after the 1 o'clock? We'll know a whole lot then. Is he needing to come back or just kind of keep pace with the projections? Or have we had a crazy day? But after the 1 o'clock, we will know a lot about our team. Let's quickly go through some of the matchups. Or was there anything else about this one and this matchup or our lineup you wanted to go over?
No, I think we're pretty solid there.
All right, let's go ahead and just take a look at the rest of the matchups, and we will get you guys ready to go have a great Week 2 that we are hoping that we can also have if we can figure that out. So, all right, let's go. We take a look at the next game. We got Gritty, which is Gimme Locks, versus Team Brad 304-009. By the way, I don't know if you remember me asking. I have been at Brad on the trade show here. What's the what's the 009? And he said it's his little like made up version of the 007, 009. So 304 is his area code, West Virginia, and 009 is kind of like his James Bond, if you will. So Geno Smith, excuse me, still sick over here. Geno Smith versus T-Law. We have Saquon versus Breece Hall. Bijan versus Tyrone Tracy. We've got Neighbors versus McLaurin. We've got Brian Thomas Jr. versus Adams. We've got Tyquan Thornton in the starting lineup versus Alamide Zaccheaus. I can't even say the guy's name. Alamide Zaccheaus was one of the most frustrating parts about the Bears offense. Why is this guy out there so much and not Luther Burden, man? What the hell is that about?
It's just veteran bullshit. You know how it is.
Killing me. TJ Hockenson versus Laporta. We got, speaking of double tight end, like we were considering, Cole Kmet versus Gibbs. We've got Ladd McConkey versus Najee. We've got Marvin Mims versus Sutton. De'Ami Brown, man, versus Jacoby Myers. And Danny Dimes versus Aaron Rodgers. This one is projected to be similar to ours, where it's about a 15-point lean to Brad, 304-09.
Yeah. So I want to give a quick shout-out to Brad. He was the one in our draft. He went 3 running backs and, like, 2 tight ends to start. He got Barkley, Bijan, Gibbs, Laporta, and I think Kittle. And obviously, yep, Kittle's out.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a quarterback at all. And we were like, man, this guy's going to be hurting. Well, guess what, Brad? You laughed at all of us in our faces. You picked up Geno, who had a 30-point game, and Aaron Rodgers, who had like a high 30-point game with 4 touchdowns. So you're the one laughing at all of us. You are better than us.
Damn, you know what's crazy? Is you stole the punchline from me, which is, see, if Brad, with what you knew you were doing, you should have dropped after week one. 009 is what Aaron Rodgers is going to be looking like. The 2009 version of Aaron Rodgers, just out here cooking people. Definitely played it well. I mean, we haven't hit buys, but right now, it's looking pretty good for you. I didn't mean to change to week 3. Sorry, y'all. Week 2 is still here, but okay. That's ours, and then we got Brad. Let's move to Tim H. versus Fresh Scrub. Projections have this one to be a pretty significant lean to Tim H., which is what it is. 0-2 for Tim versus 2-0 versus Fresh Scrub. But it's Kyler Murray versus Jalen Hurts. We got James Conner versus Benson. So that's interesting. Arizona backfield. We've got Scadabo versus Jordan Mason. Chase across from Tet McMillan. We got Olave versus Nico Collins. We've got Josh Downs versus Tyreek Hill. Ertz, listen. Ertz had a nice game. Mike offered me a trade, actually, to give me Ertz in the OG shit league, and I turned it down. And I still think it was the right play, but when you turn a trade down on the day of the game where he goes bonkers, you're like, damn, that wasn't the right play. Right. We have Romeo Doubs, who got in the end zone on the other side, versus Ingram. We have Brenton Strange, Jaden Higgins, Keon Coleman versus Stephon Diggs. Thornton versus Dante Thornton versus Tucker Kraft. By the way, this was one of the interesting parts. Now, granted, I think at this point it is a start 12, and it's a, you know, there's no buys and not many injuries, but rolling Tucker Kraft in that tight end in that flex spot was wild. Obviously, you knew you were going to play him, but damn. And then Jared Goff in the lineup down there versus Caleb Williams. Again, with putting Dobbs in the lineup and putting Kraft in the lineup when you didn't necessarily have to, but their start is definitely the reason why you're getting that type of favoritism this way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would just say, Tim, for the future, just always put if you got a Thursday tight end, make sure you put him in the tight end spot. Dobbs, make sure you put him in the receiver spot. Just kind of gives you lineup flexibility. Like if, you know, just say Tyreek Hill pulled his groin in Friday practice or in the pregame or something, like,
right,
and you need that spot. Like, you want to have that option of Tyreek Hill in your flex because, you know, you could play any running back, receiver, tight end on your roster instead of, oh man, I'm stuck with only having to play the wide receiver because he's in the wide receiver spot to fill. So
100%.
Just always. I mean, it's hard to do. Like, it's Thursday, we're all busy, but yeah, just for the future, like, always put your Thursday guys into your, like, official tight end spot, official wide receiver spot, and stuff. It just helps you out in the future. You know, it helps me out like once or twice a year by doing that. Like, you know, with a random inactive on Sunday morning that you weren't expecting, or a late game, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and stick with me on this just for the futility of it and the exercise, right? Because obviously, I think what happens is 95% of the time or more, you know, your guys don't get hurt leading up to the game and you didn't have a decision to make, so it's okay. But if something does happen, or let's say you got great news on somebody else and then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, they actually aren't going to be able to play. See, you would be in the position now, right, where you're filling instead of a wide receiver or running back. Like, Tyler Higbee, for all intents and purposes, might be the player that you wanted to play as a tight end, right? If you don't, and if you don't put him in, you end up going with, you know, shit, man, do I want to play, you know, Miles Sanders? I'm not saying you couldn't pick a tight end, or I'm sorry, a running back or a wide receiver on your roster, but it just gives you the ability, if you wanted to go Higbee or you wanted to go anybody else, you can put anyone in the lineup versus now you kind of pigeonhole yourself into, shit, I don't even have another running back that's really worth a shit on my team, and I got to put him into a lineup spot. So, anyway, that's something to – honestly, it's a small point, but a pretty high, like, detailed point, I think, for lineup management that I don't always get right, but I try very hard to make sure that we don't screw it up. Now, we get the next game, Chill Will versus Super Buff Cherry. We got Stroud. I'm just going to go down. Instead of going to the comparison, I'm going to go down the teams this time. Chill Will is looking at Stroud, Ashton Jeanty, Bucky Irving, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Smitty. We got Judy. We have Tyler Warren, who looked really good in his debut. We have Aaron Jones, Cooper Kupp, Ricky Pearsall, Michael Pittman, and Cedric Tillman is currently in his super flex spot.
Yeah, he doesn't have another quarterback.
Yep,
so.
Quarterbacks are all dried up. We got on the opposite side for Super Buff Cherry, who is 2-0. That is super. I'm sorry, it's not super. Shit talking Metro. Has to be loving life right now. Talking some shit to somebody somewhere. We got Jaden Daniels, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, JSN, Egbuka, Zay Flowers. We got Mike Gesicki. JCM was in his lineup. We have Roma Dunze, Juwan Jennings, and. Man, tell me how to say the name.
I think it's Tongs, but I have no idea.
Yeah, Jake Tongs. I wasn't sure if it's Tongs, Tongs. I don't know actually how to say the guy's last name, but in the lineup, he already has him. And they got McCarthy in at the super flex spot.
All right.
Okay, so moving on to the next matchup. We got two more to look at here real quick. We got Hillbillies versus Zach Willard. We've got Hillbillies, both of these guys right here in the middle, 1-1. For Hillbillies, we got Josh Allen, Omarion Hampton, Trayvon Henderson, Waddle, Shakir, Palmer, Ferguson, Dylan Sampson, RJ Harvey, Trey Harris, Mason Taylor in the lineup, and we have Drake May. Opposite of for Willard, we have Pat Mahomes, Derrick Henry, we have Tony Pollard, CD Lamb, Marvin Harrison Jr., we have DK Metcalf, Kyle Pitts, Charbonnet, Montgomery, Hollywood Brown, who led the NFL in targets, 16 targets week one, Isaiah Pacheco, and Baker Mayfield. Right now, the projections aren't even close at all. This is leaning pretty heavily to Willard.
Yep.
And then that would be, oops, is that?
No, we should have one more.
Yeah, it made me drag the next screen. All right, last matchup here. The Mayor and Jaws, that's Castle Black versus Rippin. Castle Black has already had Jordan Love in line. And I'll just say Jordan Love, man, has been a really good start to his season. We got Kyren Williams, Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, J-Mo. We've got Brock Bowers, J.K. Dobbins, Travis Hunter, Travis Etienne. We have Javonte Williams and Bo Nix. That's a roster right now as I look at it I really like. Rippin, we have Joe Burrow, Devon Achane, Ramondre Stevenson, we got Puka, George Pickens, Wandale Robinson, and then we have David Njoku, Dalton Kincaid, Braylon Allen, Hunter Henry, Darnell Mooney, and Justin Herbert. As far as the projections go, leaning pretty heavily, about 30 points to Mayor Jaws. Eric, I think that's one that's favored his way, but I think a lot of these right now, at least, look to be, you know, not decided matchups, and it's early in the season when everyone steals a lot of hopes and dreams. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, just a little observation. I ain't going to call the teams out, but I see like a couple teams have a open roster spot or someone on their bench is fucking retired. Like, what are we doing, guys? Come on, fill those rosters, man.
Hey, but listen, if you're not listening to this, it's okay if you keep it because gives us one extra, hopefully, live body in the waiver wire for us to fill our team up with. All right.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just looking at the waiver wire. Like, I don't even think there's any guys that we could pick up that would be in our lineup. So
no, he's cross him off the list. He's already dead. So yeah, I will say last week there was some other matchups I think we could have had that would have given us a chance to win, but it is what it is. And now we have definitely a tough matchup here with CM Frank. We're going to have to earn it, buddy.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to earn it. And yeah, I'm excited to see what our team can do this week, man. I hoping Lamar and Dak Prescott are the ones that carry us. And yeah. I'm interested to see how Tootin plays too. I think, you know, if Tootin goes off and has a big monster game, me and you will be tagging each other in the Discord going crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those days where if the game is close, which I expect it to be, Tootin has a chance to be our hero, you know? So hopefully he can do that. I think one of the other things to keep in mind too, Dak Prescott coming off with Dak, we didn't get a chance to maybe finish out this point, or I didn't make it at least. When I get a quarterback, right, like Dak, I thought he played well. He's not really dealing with any injuries at the moment. You're coming back home, right, and you're coming off that Thursday game. This is a point to think about with almost any player. You have not a bye, but you have that extra time of rest, and this matchup versus the Giants is just, to me, they're very much to be had. So if Dak can't get it done for us versus the Giants, you know, coming back home on a long week, man, I'll be feeling like, what the fuck are you doing to us, buddy? But I'm expecting big things for him. And I like a lot of our team in our matchup. I do think, to your point, though, Bashal Tootin is going to be, you know, a big wild card for us. And I'm hoping Shaheed, with all that volume, gets better stat line, too, to finish us out.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really touch on it, but do you like looking at that on your matchup? So, like, say, you know, we looked at our matchup and say, hey, he's starting Spencer Rattler. Does that make you want to play like Shaheeds and the Olaves and the Brandon Cooks of the world?
Yeah.
Juwan Johnson, just because your opponent has their quarterback? Is that something you do look at?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, actually, you know what? I'm sick. So sometimes my brain, I'm just trying to like keep myself like focused. I'll get off of it. No, that point, right? I don't think I finished it, which is, I am a little more, if I'm already going to play a guy, right? Like, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to, unless it's something that it's close. Now, I will do that if it's really close, but if I'm splitting hairs and it's close, I like having a pass catcher that has the ability, you know, one of your primary pass catchers that has the ability to kind of thwart anything that's going to happen from a Spencer Rattler, right?
Right.
So, yes, I'm with you on that point, and definitely where I'm like, okay, let's leave Shaheed in there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I think that's it. We got a big week, big game for CM Frank. That's all I got, buddy. You got anything?
No, I think that's it. I think I'm looking forward to week two here, and we'll see what we got going.
Absolutely, man. Well, Eric, as always, we got the grind every single week. Saturday night, we'll bring it to you, and you will have it basically early Sunday morning to get into, you know, start your Super Bowl Sunday, not Super Bowl, but every single Sunday, which I always think is Super Bowl. It's my Super Bowl every week. And if you do hear this on Sunday, make sure you go check us out. We will both be on Start Shit this week on the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel that's on YouTube. So make sure you go check that out if you want your Start Shit questions answered. If you want to know to start somebody or to shit them, put them on the bench, that's where you'll get us at. Otherwise, we will see you, or you'll be hearing us back here on week three of the grind. If you are hearing this only right now, it's in your ear holes, and you want to watch the video where you get to look at our, you know, the screen share of our team and all the other teams, make sure you go check out patreon.com/South Harmon. $1 a month gets you in the door. You get to watch the video of the grind. So many other really big things. You can take a look at rankings that we have in there. You have access to all kinds of stuff in our Discord. So make sure you go check that out. Otherwise, we will see you back here, same time, same place, next week for the grind. We are out of here. Peace.